It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Good to be back with you. Off last week, we are here. Here, like, for the duration. Except for a day here and there.
Yeah.
But basically here.
We're basically here. Yeah. We're locked in.
This guy came up to me on the beach. We were in Delaware. It was Wednesday. He's like, yo, I love the show. You guys got to get back, though. I was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
We have one week when we're not there.
Yeah, Broads and TK. Yeah.
He was like, yo, I keep tuning in every day. It's TK. I'm like, well, TK's good.
It's been a lot of TK the last like week and a half.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah,
man, let TK shine.
I'm not letting TK shine. I'm saying like it's been like the TK show for the last week and a half. You know the morning show never works. So yeah, like there's been a lot of TK in there. Jillia was off the week before we were off. TK's right in there.
Yeah.
The summer of teak, some say.
We gotta have a TK day one day where he just goes 6A to 6P, 12 straight hours of TK.
You could do it.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? That guy's a machine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about the Phils.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Tell Jackie Baseball.
I tell you what, it was jarring watching a team just come in here and mash the baseball.
Just home run after home run after home run.
I was so jealous.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm watching three guys in their outfield who I want the Phillies to go get, like, one of them.
Yeah.
You know, Taylor Ward had a huge weekend. Joe Adell is you know, he's having a breakout year finally as a good prospect a long time ago. And then, like, Jorge Soler, I feel like every time he swings, he's going to hit it 700 feet. Well, not even to mention Trouty, Spike. Come on, man.
No? He's only making, what, $37 million for the next 6 years?
Pay it down.
Yeah, and every home run, by the way, was a 438-foot shot to center field.
Yeah, they weren't wall scrapers.
Or upper deck, or, yeah. No,
well,
no,
and then you see the Phillies' offense just puttering along.
Yeah.
You know, like, no home runs whatsoever.
Second and third, no out. We're crossing our fingers that one of the guys gets home on the ground.
We had a couple home runs.
Man, yeah, hold on, man.
Yeah. Come
on. Schwarbs, big one on Saturday.
That's right.
Bryce had a big weekend.
And it's always in the series they lose, and it ended up being in a game that they won. But that base running mistake with Schwarber and Trey Turner. Maybe
one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Made me want to put my foot through the wall. What are you guys doing? They gave him a break, by the way, throwing the ball to second. At least we could keep Trey on third, because you'd rather have Trey on third than Schwarber on third.
Yeah.
And they still screwed it up. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, very not the best base.
I blame that on Trey.
Or do we Trey should have just stayed.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or Schwarber's just got to run to third and stay there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Somebody has to get to third and just stay on third base.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Dave Dombrowski's talking right now to the media.
What did he say?
He said that David Robertson is throwing like he has in the past, the similar spin rate, throwing 88 to 90.
Oh,
get
wow.
excited. Get excited.
Now, it's going to be a few weeks for him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so he's reported Lehigh Valley, so he had to accept that because you can't. A tenured player, you can't just make go to Lehigh Valley. But he accepted it, so he's going to Lehigh Valley. And at the end, Dave said he's open-minded to doing other things before the trade deadline.
Oh, well, there you go. Well,
how does that make you feel?
Oh, boy, at least he's open-minded.
Yeah, at least he's open-minded to it. Now, there's a lot of trade stuff I want to get to, but I do find it interesting. So I think we talked about this before we left on vacation. But Harper continuing to do, like, I'm one of the best players in baseball thing.
I'm glad you noticed that, because he did it again.
He did it again. What is your read on? Like, what's the read on Harper doing the one of the best players in baseball thing again?
He wants his extension.
Yeah.
You guys in the reporting about the extension.
100% that's what it is.
Why wouldn't it be?
I've never heard him say that. He said it twice in 1 week.
I know.
You know, I'm one of the best players.
Why else would he be trying to remind people?
I think he's reminding himself. I think he had to get back to, like, I think he's going through the poor me's. Oh, this made a lot of sense in the High Hopes podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it does, where nobody challenges
no,
it.
No, you guys are, I'm
glad you thought the same thing.
This has nothing to do with the extension. You guys are crazy.
By the way, I didn't send the text to you because I wanted to surprise you with it, but when I saw him say it the second time, I sent it to a friend of mine. I was like, this guy just wants his extension. He said this twice in 1 week.
You guys are doomers, man.
It's not a doomer. He just wants his money.
He was going through a horrible stretch, and what he's doing is convincing himself, reminding himself he's one of the best players in baseball.
I got to be honest with you. I agree with him.
About what?
He's still one of the best players in baseball, and he should get an extension.
Ugh, you're crazy on both.
I totally agree with him.
Best, well, one of the best, what, one of the 30 best?
Yeah, one of them.
Okay.
That's technically one of the best.
Yeah, if you move the line back far enough, I guess Max Kepler is one of the best.
I didn't say one of the 10 best or one of the 15 best.
And look how we can do that normally. We can all agree. Not one of the 10 best players in baseball. We all love the guy.
We don't have much to work with.
We don't have to lie.
Yeah.
perfectly
yeah.
okay.
We can't just say he's one of the 10 best players in baseball.
And enough with the extension. Not at this point. How about you have a healthy year where you produce like one of the best players in baseball for the entire year, and then we can talk about it. Your extension is not coming for 6.5 years. 6.5 years. We were having a discussion 2 weeks ago about whether his prime is over, and he still has a contract for 6.5 years.
And then he has 504 games.
You pushed that discussion.
That is a lie.
It's clear that his prime is not over with.
Are you kidding me?
He just hit 3 home runs at opposite field.
Oh, okay, great.
He said he hasn't felt this good in a year and a half.
All it took was a month off.
Got to manage him.
Yeah,
I think you guys are totally wrong. I think it has nothing to do with the extension.
Now that's where I totally disagree with
he
you.
He is planning because he's looking at his AAV compared to the top 15 AAV in baseball.
No doubt he is.
He's not in the top. I'm sure he's not.
He's 27th.
Yeah, and he is thinking to himself, I am not being paid like one of the best players in baseball. So he is planting that he is one of the best players in baseball.
Yeah, I get that thing up to at least 40 a year, man. 45 a year.
Oh. All right, easy in there. Yeah. Easy in there. So
you're going to need a 3-year, $40 million a year extension.
I'll give him a raise for the next 3 years. I'm not giving him an extension yet. How about
that? Okay, that's fine.
Redo his contract. Give him $10 more million a year for the next 3 years.
I can go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can go with that. They can do that?
I don't know.
I'm like, they can do that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
They can certainly
rip up a contract. Yeah. But I don't know if there's like a precedent for it.
I don't know.
So the rib injury.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bone gets hit in the ribs before the All-Star break and then comes back, plays.
Plays through it because he's tough.
Because he's tough. Always has been. Yep. Never cried in the dugout when they're winning by 10 runs.
Yep.
And then the next day, all of a sudden, he's got a fractured rib.
And he's out for a month.
How do you miss that?
Like, yeah, I don't know.
You have the NOLA ankle thing that they let him pitch on and go out there and get shelled. And then they said a day later, they were like, oh, well, he actually had this ankle injury that happened in Cleveland. And then you had the Harper wrist thing.
Bryce came back too early.
Which you can't figure out what the wrist thing is. And then you have, now they've been pretty healthy, but the injuries they've had this year are just weird.
Do you think if you opened up the door to the Phillies medical staff, they would all be wearing Sixers gear in there? Do you think they're all? Do you think they've just brought in the Sixers medical staff for the Phillies this year in terms of communicating about injuries? Very weird.
It's very weird.
It's very weird.
It's very weird. So we talked about the deadline and what the signals that they are kind of putting out. Now the way they talk is different than what is being put out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the national guys, and it's not the usual suspects. Like some of the national guys do the chalk, Dombrowski's going to make a move thing. You know, like Jim Bowden will say that, and like John Heyman or whatever. But the fact that, you know, Jason Stark, he was on foul territory, and he had this to say about what he's hearing about Dave Dombrowski heading into the deadline.
I think he has this sense about his team that with the right move or moves, they can win the World Series, that everybody else is beatable, their team too, but they have that team that nobody wants to play because of their pitching, right? And I ran into a guy in Atlanta who has talked to Dave, and he said he thinks Dave is geared up to do something huge. He's got his prospect chips ready to go. And look, his ideal trade is not going to happen. His ideal trade is the Twins for Byron Buxton and Johan Duran. That's not going to happen. The Twins aren't going to do that. But that's what I think Dave would do in an ideal world. Give up a ton of prospects for a big bat, a huge arm, and two guys he can control beyond this year.
So what I keep thinking is this is out there so when they don't do it, they can say they wanted to do it.
Yep.
Maybe.
It's just how it feels.
But
I just don't feel like we're going to get some big guy.
But what's different about at least this year versus the last couple of trade deadlines is that around this time, the last couple of trade deadlines, you were already hearing from the more local guys that don't expect a big move. Like we would be talking here about go get this guy, go get this guy. But everything was don't expect that. That's changed this year. Like there are at least more of the local guys are saying, I think this is the time that he's going to push his chips in.
All right.
So we'll see. I mean, we're 10 days out. Now, the one guy who could be...
Because that does set us up for a reaction if he doesn't do it.
Well, I think this is the. I think this is going to be the most like reaction-heavy deadline.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Both ways.
Yeah.
Like, I think people really want that big move.
Yep.
And we'll debate what the big move is. But, the one guy that is a factor in all this is, of course, Middleton. And Middleton talked over the weekend. And this is sort of a shaky answer if you want a big move.
You go back to like 9, 10, and 11 for us when Ruben was the general manager. He did an extraordinary job. You know, got Cliff Lee in 09 at the trade deadline, added Pedro shortly after that. You know, after 09 season, in the offseason, he brought in Roy Holiday, extended him, you know, brought in Roy Oswalt in 10 at the trading deadline, re-signed Cliff, you know, after 10 during the offseason, brought in Hunter Pence. Every move he made, it was an A-plus move. And every player that he brought in performed at a very high level. And we still lost. You know, and not only did we not win the World Series, but we exited every year one round earlier than the year before. And then, but you know, so if you kind of empty the cupboard, you can do everything right and you still don't win. It's a bad call, it's a bad break, you know, a bad bounce of a ball. It's some guy who just gets ridiculously hot and on the other team and beat you. So those things, you have to take that, you have to weigh all that, because we're going to be playing baseball in 5 or 10 years from now, right?
Yeah.
And we want the fans to be excited about the team 5 or 10 years from now. And that, and to do that, you can't just trade everybody.
Yeah, but, okay. He's right, mm-hmm. but also, if I had it to do it again, I would tell Ruben Amaro to go get Cliff Lee, go get Roy Halladay, go get, you know, Hunter Pence, go do it, because like I don't want to be left asking the question if they were a move away from going and getting them. You could always say it might not work. Of course it might not work.
Sure.
But it has less of a chance of working if you don't add good players to your team.
So, and listen, I think John Middleton's heart is usually in the right place. And I think he's wrestling with this as well. You don't go from, I'm going to die trying to get the trophy back, to this mindset without somebody influencing you with this sort of mindset as well. So maybe he's had to been told, maybe we don't want to go all in. Here's where I think he's missing the boat in listening to that. Couple of things. Those were absolutely the right moves to make. It's what the team needed. The GM went out and done it. It's not Ruben's fault that the players didn't get it done. Ruben didn't blow a 4-0 lead in game 2, right? Ruben wasn't the guy who couldn't hit against San Francisco when Cody Ross was going off for a damn in the NLCS, right? And they went on to win the World Series, right? That's not Ruben's fault. And by the way, and while I like these prospects, I like them mostly because Jack tells me I need to like them. I don't know these damn prospects other than by name. The prospects they traded for those guys, how many of them actually came back to haunt you? So I would much rather have done what Ruben did versus don't do anything, don't win the World Series, and I still got a bunch of bum prospects on my team or in my farm system that I'm forcing on the fan base. I'm not saying that's what Aiden Miller and Andrew Painter and Justin Crawford are going to be, but to act as if these are guaranteed everyday players, a top-of-the-rotation pitcher, like that's what you're giving up, it sounds more like a businessman than it does I'm trying to go win the World Series. It sounds like I want to make sure we have a good team so that I can keep people coming to the game.
Yeah.
He is a businessman. I don't fault him for that.
Well,
I'm just saying, when I hear that, I don't hear baseball. I hear I want to have a solid team so that we don't go through what we went through those 10 years when we didn't have any players.
Well, and to be clear, I don't want to go through that either. I don't want to go through 8 years.
Nobody does.
But it's on them as an organization to be able to trade prospects to get good players and still continue on.
They have a draft every year. You can get players every year.
And there are teams that trade for good players almost every year.
Atlanta
still have
always has good
to
players.
Uh-huh. Yankees have been over 500 forever.
For 20 years.
They trade prospects all the time. Dodgers trade prospects all the time.
And by the way, it doesn't stop the Yankees from continuing to trade prospects. And by the way, they haven't won a World Series since 09.
Yeah.
And they just keep friggin' doing it over and over and over and over again. You know, is it okay to have a guy or two in your system who's like, maybe not that guy?
Right.
But overall, there's just...
Well, it's not like they have a Cunha coming through the system,
right,
or
right,
like a Tatis.
Yes. That's why I joke about Aiden Miller. When I say like he's going to hit...
Did you see that throw from a Cunha?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dude, I trade every one of our prospects right now for him.
Yes.
He's I swear to God I would.
And then he had a line drive 454 yesterday.
Yeah.
He is ridiculous.
He is insane.
Yeah. He's really good. That you have him making two
torn ACLs, by the way, on his ledger.
By the way, he's making that throw from right field. And Cassie's falling down, catching routine fly balls, making them look harder than they are. It's like, oh my God, do they even play the same sport?
Not really.
Are they going to make a big move?
I think so. But my problem is, like, I think they're going to make a big move for a closer, and that's going to drive me nuts. Like, if you're going to make
if it's the Miller kid.
Yeah, he's fine. Again, he's great. I know that Mason Miller is great. I know that Felix Bautista, I think, is their number one guy. I think they want Felix Bautista. But, like...
Orioles.
Yeah. If you're going to trade, if you're going to do your all-in move, right? We're waiting for the Dave Dombrowski patented all-in move. I would just rather it be for a game-changing bat. And I just... A closer can only affect so much.
The question is... Is the whether there is a game changing bat available,
right.
And if it's top of the line closer versus mid level bat, give me the top of the line closer because I think you change the complexion of your entire bullpen by adding one top of the line piece. I think they'll probably add one top of the line, one middle one, or something like that, or maybe the Robertson signing means they don't think they can add a middle one in the trade deadline, so they'll just get one top. I think the problem is if you add like a middle of the road bat. There are just enough hitters on this team where I'm saying they're going to succeed or fail based on Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner, Alec Boehm, and that's it.
And the starting pitching has to be there. Yeah.
And whether they trade for a guy who has a 772 OPS who's playing left field instead of Max Kepler, I just don't know. I think I'd rather have the bullpen piece if I can only have one. Because I just think it changes everything. You look at that bullpen is atrocious. It really is atrocious. The fact that they're in first place with that bullpen is...
It's a miracle.
It truly is.
Daniel Robert, 1.7-something ERA, though. Good forget.
We forget.
Yeah.
He's been all right?
He has been pretty good. He always does look like he's sick.
Yeah.
He always looks like he has a cold or
always
something.
Looks surprised to be there,
yes,
too.
Yes, yeah.
He's very wide-eyed. And then I guess real quick, the two big trade deadline names today.
Yes.
The one was from Mason Miller from Ken Rosenthal. He said the Phillies are the most likely team to tempt the A's to trade Mason Miller. The way the A's see it, only a few teams are bold enough to propose an offer worthy of Miller. Which team might tempt the A's? The Philadelphia Phillies. And then from Jim Bowden, who I think is full of it, he said that the Red Sox have been discussing Jaron Duran with several teams, and both the Phillies and Padres would love to land Duran. He is the outfielder from the Red Sox, not the closer from the Twins.
It'd be weird for the Red Sox to trade him, given how well they're playing.
So I think they like their current outfield.
Okay.
They have a Gold Glover in center field. They have Roman Anthony, who's the best prospect in baseball, in left, and then Abreu in right field. So I think that they view him as expendable, and if they can get an arm, they need pitching. Maybe they do it.
Will you trade? They need a starter, or do they need a reliever?
They need starting pitching.
Okay.
It would be like Abel. We'd start with Abel.
Okay.
Who's shoving back in AAA, by the way. Get excited.
And, I mean, he's allowed, what, one run and two starts or zero runs and two starts?
I don't think he's allowed no runs and only three hits.
Yeah, that speaks more to the hitters he's facing.
At least you get the confidence
back. Getting the trade value up.
Yeah.
Focus on the important things. Focus on the important things.
I didn't know. I thought you were trying to keep him.
No.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That was only for a week.
Get ready to learn. Get ready to learn Fenway Pack. You know?
There you go.
Fenway Pack.
Coming up next, more stuff we missed for the week off. There was a big article on Joel Embiid, and Paul George had knee surgery.
Oh,
surprise!
Man.
So, talk about both of those things next. Are you more optimistic or pessimistic about the rest of the Philly season? Glass half full or glass half empty? 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Glad to be back with you. Was glad to have some time off from takes, but now I'm back and ready to scorch. You know,
yeah, I'm back. Yeah.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For extraordinary diamonds and customer service, visit Mark's in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Experience the difference at Mark's-Jewelers.com. Are French fries a junk food? Yes or no? What do you think the poll is at, Ike?
I don't really know. I'm going to go with my gut says no. I'll go, but it's probably close. I'll go 60% say no.
It's I'm going to take a victory lap here.
Uh-oh.
76.3% say it is a junk food.
Say yes?
Yes.
Wow.
So my, you know, next question today is, you know, your favorite junk food. I said French fries and was clobbered by Ike and Jack and then Ike's friends online or whatever. Yeah. Texting him, whatever, saying it's not a junk food. French fries are a junk food. I love them, but they are a junk food.
How's your brother's birthday thing going?
He said, "Why did you have to do that?" And I said, "I didn't do it." And he said, "Well, then who did?" By the way, Jason's phone number is 215-317-3000. He's 41 today. He got hit by a car last week. His real phone number is 215-317-3000. You can text him or call him to wish a happy birthday.
Wow.
Don't do it past today. There is one group of guys.
Don't do it past today.
I'm sure people will abide by that. Yes.
There's one group of guys that have a text thread, a group text, and they put him in the group text, and every time he leaves, they put them back in it.
That's me.
Yes.
That's me.
215-592-9494. Charlie in Harrisburg. You're on WIP. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So, you know, this whole Jalen Hurts controversy, you know, my issue with you, Spike, you know, and your little smirk with Jalen Hurts being ranked number ninth in that ridiculous list.
Oh, yeah, totally ridiculous. NFL professionals.
Right. There's jealousy.
That's what it is.
NFL professionals never
could
get
it be.
Wrong.
Could it be they disagree with you? Could it just be they disagree with you? Could it just be they saw the 29th ranked passing offense in the NFL last year and said, you know what, this guy's top 10, maybe even 6. That's what some people said. But the top of the list is reserved for people who we think are maybe just better at being the normal things we think quarterbacks are better at. Could it just be that?
Sure, if you want to be left behind with where the NFL is heading.
Where's the NFL heading exactly? The tight ends push you into the end zone? Is that where the NFL is heading?
Apparently, because that's the way that we just won a Super Bowl last year, and we're going to win a Super Bowl again this year.
Okay.
And here's my issue with this.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk to Jolly about you know the whole issue with our good friend in the 76ers, Daryl Morey.
Okay.
You kept coming back to two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Who else should be the GM, and what would you do differently?
Yes.
So who else should be the Eagles quarterback?
I don't want a different quarterback. See, this is what, this is, Charlie, here's what, this is why I get so frustrated and what can't get through your skull. And so many people have trouble getting through your skull. I am happy he's the quarterback. I'm thrilled they won the Super Bowl. But if you ask for my honest opinion about who might be better, I will give you my honest opinion. The same thing I would for any player who ever plays here. My job, my literal job, is to give you my honest opinion about how good they are. At no point during the season, unless I was doing it to kid around when Kenny Pickett was playing or something like that, just to tweak you or whatever, I never seriously said I ever wanted them to get rid of Jalen Hurts. Did you ever? I challenge you to go through all of our podcasts for the year I've been on the air and say, find one segment where I'm saying they should move on from Jalen Hurts. I don't think they should move on from Bryce Harper, and I think there are 20 players better than Bryce Harper.
Well, not only that, Spike.
By the way, I don't think they should move on from Zach Wheeler, and I think there are 5 pitchers in baseball better than Zach Wheeler.
Well, hold on.
I've heard you say multiple times to people, no, I don't want Josh Allen. I don't want Joe Burrow. I don't.
Well, no. If you offered me a trade, just like if you offered me a trade for Aaron Judge for Bryce Harper, I would say yes. I'm sorry. I would. If you offered me Bobby Witt Jr. for Bryce Harper, I would say yes. If you offered me Gunnar Henderson for Bryce Harper, I would say yes. But I'm not actively saying they should get rid of Bryce Harper, just like I'm not actively saying they should get rid of Jalen. I just feel like, quite honestly, I feel like I have a more reasonable stance than you do. I think yours is, and this is fine because you're a big Eagles fan and you're allowed to love Jalen, but this is not, I don't campaign to get rid of Jalen. None of those things happen. They just don't happen. I just don't think he's as good as some other guys in the NFL. That's it. I will take a Super Bowl winning team and a top 10 quarterback. By the way, my NFL rankings have him 7th. Which is higher than that list. And somehow being the 7th best quarterback in all of football is not enough for you.
No, it's not. It is not enough.
Because you are being emotional.
I'm trying to be very matter-of-fact about this.
But you're not. Your opinion is emotional.
When I look around the league, when I look around the league and I see, like, Joe Burrow,
Yes.
What he did last year.
Yes.
Okay, he didn't make the playoffs last year.
I know.
I saw Jalen Hurts play with a team very tantamount to that team 2 years ago made the playoffs.
Okay, who's better? Hold on. We can do this. Who's better, C.J. Yeah. Stroud or Joe Burrow?
I would say Joe Burrow.
Okay, Joe Burrow didn't make the playoffs last year, and C.J. Stroud did. So is C.J. Stroud better because he made the playoffs?
No, I think
so that's gone. Okay, we can push that off. Okay. Yes, Joe Burrow didn't make the playoffs. He had, it, still, when you look at his numbers, he had an excellent season, and believe it or not, the Chiefs lost on purpose in the last week of the year so they didn't have to play Joe Burrow. And that is a fact.
I'm not ceding the point that the only thing that matters is playoff wins. That's not what I'm saying here. What I am saying here is that I think Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Joe Burrow.
What does he do better than Joe Burrow?
What he does better is he adapts to every situation.
That's not a thing. What does he do better than Joe Burrow? His job is to play sports. Charlie, his job is to play sports. If I asked you, why is Aaron Judge good? You would say, because he hits tons of home runs, he leads the league in batting average, he leads the league in OPS, blah, 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 blah. You wouldn't say he adjusts. Right? If I asked you why Nikola Jokic was good, you would say he's the greatest passing big man of all time. He's actually a really good shooter. Bubba, you wouldn't say he adjusts. I'm asking you simply, what is Jalen Hurts better at as a football player than Joe Burrow?
He is better at finding a way to win.
There it is.
Okay. There it is. Right. There it is, Charlie. I was waiting on it, Charlie.
That is, again,
he's a winner.
It's not a skill. It's not a skill.
Oh, it's, winning is a skill.
You stay out of this.
Winning is a skill.
Charlie, I don't know what to tell you, man. Joe Burrow has been to a Super Bowl. He's been to a championship game. They didn't make the playoffs last year. I think he's better than Jalen Hurts. I'm not campaigning that we should trade Jalen Hurts or we should move on or anything like that. I just don't think he's as good as Joe Burrow. It's fine.
And I will tell you that anything that Joe Burrow can do, Jalen Hurts can do just as well.
All right. Well, you should see a therapist. What's your favorite?
What's your favorite junk
food?
I would say I actually had one with lunch today. Candy cake.
Oh, there you
candy
go.
Cake. Oh, candy cake. Oh, tasty cake.
Yeah, tasty cake.
Most people are, when you ask them their favorite tasty cake, it usually comes down to crimpet or candy cake.
Those
are the two.
I'm probably crimpet.
I'm a candy cake head.
Oh, yeah. I'm a crimpet guy. Yeah. Butterscotch crimpet.
Really?
Yeah. Always been a butterscotch crimpet guy. I eat the frosting last, like a psychopath.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get in here.
Yeah.
You just went a wild here.
Yeah, just real quick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, just for next question. The best next question today gets 4 tickets to the Eagles training camp public practice.
And you can August go tell Jalen how much you love him.
Stop being a hater.
Never.
Yeah. Listen, here's the thing.
Yes.
And, you know, I sit there and I listen to you with guys, and the problem is that I think sometimes people want to rank Jalen higher because they feel like there isn't enough praise, right? So I look at the list and I say top 9. All right, you didn't have to be number 1, number 2 on the list. But now I do have to look at the other players and say, why is he better than Jalen Hurts? Not who I would rather have. I would just need to know, is there some guys I agree with? Like, I agree Joe Burrow is better than Jalen. And this is no slight towards Jalen. You know, just because he's our quarterback doesn't mean he's the best quarterback in all of football. He does deserve more respect than he gets for winning, because there's a narrative spike that gets painted out there. Whether you agree with it or not, wholeheartedly, a perception is he's getting carried and he's not doing anything. Now, I'm not saying that's what you're saying, but when people discuss Jalen as a whole, they're either on that side of the thing, he's being carried by all the talent around him, or he's being disrespected and not given enough credit for being the quarterback of a team that wins.
I think I get stuck in the middle of those two. Because I don't think he doesn't do anything. In fact, I gave him credit for a bunch of intangible things. Mm-hmm. He does not get flustered by us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem to be motivated by anything other than winning, which seems to be a great quality to have in a quarterback.
And I'll tell you what else, along with playing in this city, meaning the difficulty of playing in a town where we look for things to sort of pick at versus praising you. I was drafted into this. I've seen it for the last 27, 28 years. It's a part of our culture. I'm saying he's been able to thrive in that. But more importantly, he thrives when you put him in a, I don't know, high-intense situation, you put him in the postseason, there's something to being unflappable. Now, being unflappable doesn't mean you go out there and you play perfect. It just means to me that you don't unravel. You don't crumble. I rarely see Jalen in blowout losses where he's had three turnovers and two pick sixes and like he does. He's rarely the reason why your team loses. Not saying that he plays perfectly, because he took seven sacks in that Green Bay game, and some of that is him holding on to the football. But that's different than saying he turned the ball over three or four times in that Green Bay game, gave up points, and cost you the game. Oh, I'm not thinking of the Rams game. The Rams game is when he had the sacks. I think his play in the postseason, there's something to be said for that, because there are some guys, they don't perform. Like, I don't think Lamar Jackson performs well when he gets to the postseason.
No, clearly he doesn't.
Prescott does not perform well when he gets to the postseason. And for all of the boogeyman theory of having Patrick Mahomes in your conference, that is the excuse for Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Lamar for not making the Super Bowl. Well, yeah, Jalen doesn't have to go through those guys, but it didn't stop him from winning a Super Bowl or playing, facing Patrick Mahomes and playing him toe-to-toe and outplaying him in a loss. In other words, and Josh Allen has played Patrick Mahomes toe-to-toe, and Joe Burrow has too. I haven't seen Lamar Jackson go toe for toe, blow for blow, and you just happen to lose because Patrick Mahomes was greater that day. Now, it wasn't Lamar's fault that Mark Andrews dropped the ball last year against Buffalo. I just think Jalen needs to get more credit for that than he does for how he looks playing the position. Because you already know physically he doesn't have the arm strength, the height, that those guys have, because if he did, he would have been a first-round draft pick as opposed to the second round. So there's already some things there physically he doesn't possess.
I have an answer to that. Give me one second. Yeah. All right. So they have all the skills at Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. John Ashdale, he's got a cannon for an arm. He's 6'5".
Is that confirmed?
Yeah, actually. He is very tall.
Yeah.
Actually,
the car's a cannon for an arm?
Well, I don't know. He looks like he might have a cannon right there for an arm. They have the biggest event of the summer, the Colonial Hyundai Fest. Cars are got together with Hyundai. They've got over 300 brand new Hyundais on the lot. They got Santa Fe's, they got Tucson's, they got Elantras, and you right now are going to save up to 20% off of any of them. That's up to $10,000. You go into Colonial for Hyundai Fest, you're going to drive out with a new car, keeping your monthly payment without an increase. You might ask how. Well, great financing, as low as 0% available on any new Hyundai in stock, only at Colonial. $6,500 for your trade guaranteed, only at Colonial. America's best warranty as well, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai Fest, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. What I think is, those things that you're talking about, which I think are real, are what put him in that 6, 7, 8 range.
And that's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
And again, I think 9 is too low. I don't have him that low. But
and
I
notice I didn't go with every quarterback. It's just a couple of those quarterbacks in front. I'm like, nah, you got to have him in front of that guy.
The Justin Herbert, Jared Goff,
all
those guys for sure.
And I'm going to have him in front of Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels. Stafford, I have ahead. Baker
is a
personal
Stafford is an
thing.
Argument, is a legitimate argument. Yes.
Won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Has put up big numbers and, you know, all those
could've
things.
Could easily beat you last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't bring that up. You did. If
make sure that's on the text line. Yeah.
It happened.
So it's just like, I don't know. Part of it is that when lists like that come out, I laugh and I know what response is going to create. But that guy calling up and telling me that he's better than Burrow because he finds a way to win, like, I don't know how to respond to that. You know, every quarterback that wins a Super Bowl isn't automatically on the number one on the list the next year.
Yep.
There was something while we were gone. First things first. Well, I'll actually do that second. The Paul George thing second. There's a very long article on ESPN.com, a profile on Joel Embiid. And I think that most people didn't read it because it was 13,000 words.
It was 13,000 words?
Yeah, it took me 35 or 40 minutes to read it or something like that.
It's like a book.
It is. I would say this. We had the author on the podcast yesterday. We got to talk to him more about it. It was the most in-depth in terms of getting Joel Embiid to talk that I've ever seen. And it did two things for me. One, it truly made me feel empathy for Joel Embiid as a person. He seems like suspicious of everyone around him all the time. He seems like a lonely guy. He does seem depressed. People that have, like, there was a thing, he has like 8,000 missed texts and 800 missed calls. Mm-hmm. When you're avoiding things like that, that is, like, that's not a good sign.
And he's talking to, like, he's a therapist.
Yes, yeah. He was talking about when he was a kid and they would go on vacation and he would be so miserable on vacation, they told him he wasn't going to go anymore because he wouldn't talk to anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I have empathy for him being in the situation that he's in. It's tough to be that kind of person in this kind of situation. But I also came away thinking he is unable to take accountability for anything that he does around the Sixers. Mm-hmm. He blames, like, his response to that team meeting last year still is being mad that it was leaked.
Yep.
Not that Tyrese Maxey was mad at him for not showing up and being a good teammate. Mm-hmm. There's one thing in there where he talks about when he played against the Knicks that he wished, you know, somebody in the front office was looking out for him and told him not to play because he was in such bad shape. Mm-hmm. Well, if you'd listened to everything the front office said about your health, we might be in a different situation. Yeah. Like, if I was in the front office, I'd be like, Joel, like, I've told you to do a million things and you haven't done them.
Right.
He is just not suited to be a leader on an NBA team. Yeah. I don't think he is. I think he's a good person. Mm-hmm. I think he is struggling. I think he wants all of these things. But sometimes the best player is not necessarily the guy. I think Kevin Durant suffers from the same thing.
Sure.
You know, I think every time Kevin Durant talks about fighting online with a hater,
right,
or switching a team to try, I feel empathy because I'm like, I get it. I get when people are, you've accomplished as much as you've accomplished and people on the internet are telling you you're not good enough and you suck. You've won two finals MVPs.
Right.
But I also think about Kevin Durant. Man, if you're going to be that guy, you can't also do that.
Yeah.
And it is why his championships came in a place where he was not the leader. Steph was the leader. Draymond was the leader. But it's also why he doesn't feel fulfilled about any of those things. And I think the same thing about Joel. I think it's kind of sad. I think he would be better off if they were able to trade him, which I don't think they are. I think he would be better off with a fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah.
Made me feel bad for him, but it also made me even more sure that he's not the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, and I did not read it, but I've heard people talk about it enough. Yeah. You know, they started talking about it last week a little bit. And you get some of the snippets online, and it just feels like there is a desire from him to want to give his side of things.
Yes.
Giving from his perspective. And the feeling that I come away from it with, albeit from afar, and you would know better since you've read it, it's almost as if he's accepted it's not going to happen. And he almost wants to give his sort of perspective on things and how it got to this point. It doesn't feel like he's a guy who's still saying, I believe I can go win a championship. We can go win a championship. Like, that's not what it feels like to me. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, so that's how I felt reading it.
Okay.
When we talked to the author yesterday, he seemed to think that he was more locked in and more wanted to prove it more than he ever did.
Okay.
But my thing is always like, I don't know. Does he want to prove the haters wrong or does he want to win a championship? And like maybe, you know, Michael Jordan, author made a really good point. He's like, Michael Jordan made enemies of people he played with, people he did, his owner, his GM, all those sorts of things. Maybe it is. I just read that and I'm like, man, there's just too much here. And I saw all the reaction. The reaction was one of two things. It was either Joel's making excuses again, what a loser, puff piece, yada, yada, yada. Or it was people going, oh, woe is Joel.
Yeah.
If someone had just been looking out for him, if someone had just done this for him, or he's had a lot done for him. And part of the problem, the reason it's so toxic around the Sixers, is him.
Yeah.
Like, he is part of the problem, you know?
I am growing to believe that he is the biggest problem because he is the main, what do you call it? It's not a common factor.
Well, yeah, he is the commonality.
Yes,
between all of these things,
I was not looking for you.
You were looking through me.
Yes, yeah. I was really looking at Spike. Yeah. Though, yes.
Well, no, with all those things that have gone
common
wrong.
Common denominator. What I was thinking of.
There we go.
Yeah. I knew it was in there somewhere.
He is.
That damn neural gum ain't working as fast as it should. Yeah. But he has to be a guy who sets a tone.
Yes.
For what the atmosphere, and I start to see that people have come to appreciate what Kobe mindset was as a player, how he rubbed people the wrong way because all he wanted to do was win.
Sure.
And work hard, and he set that sort of tone, so much so he was willing to run away the most dominant big man since Wilt Chamberlain and didn't care. But he set a tone there that this is what it was going to be about, and I'm going to be the one who leads. Not only, like, I'm going to be the one who shows up every day, plays hurt, that's always a bit. I'm going to be that way until I can't be that way. I can appreciate players like I can appreciate him more now as a player because I believe LeBron has set this culture in place in the NBA. With these guys, you got to basically kiss their ass as the star player, or you're going to get fired as a coach or a GM. Yep. They're getting rid of you before they get rid of him.
And if he doesn't like it, he'll go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yep. If he doesn't like it, he can leave and go somewhere else. And all this is basically saying, I'm going to do what I like, what makes me comfortable. I'm not doing anything that makes me uncomfortable. And I just wish Joel, the talent is there. It's the intangible things with Joel that I think he's lacking. To me, he's proved all the haters wrong. Forget about the winning a championship, okay. But there were people who thought the guy would never play.
Oh, yeah.
That he wasn't very good. Like, he's already proved those guys wrong.
But he will never, because of how he is, he will never find satisfaction in any of this. Like, I actually don't think, even if he won a championship.
Right. And he wouldn't be happy with it.
He would hear the people who are still talking about it. And that's what it seems like. He made there's a story about a trainer he had for 9 years who he leaned on very hard and basically ended up cutting her off because she just couldn't handle it anymore. And then not that she's an enemy, but that relationship fell apart.
Yeah.
So it was, and just on top of that, the Paul George knee surgery, like, this ain't going to happen this year. I mean, it's just like, I'm watching for Maxey and Edgecombe and Grimes and
I saw
McCain.
The Paul George thing and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's just
great.
Like,
I don't think Paul George knows he's a Sixer. No. Does he know he's a Sixer?
Yeah, he's still doing the podcast.
Like, oh, yeah, great.
They're just kicking me in the groin over and over again.
Got a knee scope. Awesome.
Yeah. Edgecombe will be fun to watch.
Right. Yeah. Get the young guns out there and let them run.
Yeah. Coming up next, the station did something without us last week.
Pretty ridiculous.
Quarter century week. So they determined the top five athletes.
It's ridiculous that they did it or what they actually did.
What they did without us being here.
Oh, okay.
And elevating it.
Yeah, you don't do that without us. But we will go over their top five next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.